From CBS News Bay Area, this is the Evening Edition.
Live from the CBS studios here in San Francisco on this Saturday evening, I'm Brian Hackney.
And I'm Andrea Nakano. Meanwhile, volunteers in the South Bay were helping seniors fix up their homes, painting homes and offering structural repairs, including replacing roofs. Today, Rebuilding Together Silicon Valley is hitting 18 homes with more than 400 volunteers.
Our mission really is to help preserve affordable housing, to make sure that people can stay in their home and have a safe and healthy home as they age in place.
Homeowners can apply for this help if they are below 80% of median income and cannot do the repairs themselves. The next big day of action is in October.
Now to the East Bay. Demonstrators protesting Israel's war on Gaza are showing no signs of backing down as they continue to camp out in tents at UC Berkeley. This encampment has been outside of Sproul Hall for days now. Protesters are demanding the university divest from companies involved with the Israeli government.
We won't stop till they're addressed. We hope they'll be addressed. We don't hope to be here long term. Put pressure where you think maybe personally you can put pressure. If whether you're running a business, importing things, exporting things in government, everyone's voice matters.
Meanwhile, up north, Cal Poly Humboldt has shut down their campus, saying that anybody who enters without police permission will be arrested. Classes will be online till the end of the semester, and protesters have been occupying two buildings since Monday. There's also been a growing tent encampment outside. Yesterday, protesters took down the barricades around an administrative building, and you can see what it looks like inside. The walls covered in graffiti, and the office of the school's president was broken into. For its part, Cal Poly Humboldt released a statement saying the investments in the university's endowment does not include any direct investment in defense companies or any securities issued by Israeli companies or organizations or to defense firms.
The campus protests here in the Bay Area have been pretty tame compared to many of the other demonstrations at schools around the country. So far, hundreds of students, professors, and other activists have already been arrested. But the nationwide movement only seems to be growing.
In Boston, police clearing an encampment at Northeastern University where dozens of protesters had been set up since Thursday. Officials say about 100 people were detained. While at Columbia University, the epicenter of the protests, an encampment remained up for an 11th day.
Columbia needs to divest from any corporation that is profiting off of genocide, apartheid, or displacement of Palestinians in Israel.
Pro-Israeli demonstrators, many non-students, made their voices heard outside the campus.
Nobody's talking about the hostages.
This Columbia grad student who took part in the rally argues those in the encampments are promoting anti-Semitism and ignoring the hostages still held by Hamas.
If you actually want peace to be achieved as we do, and if you want a ceasefire, the hostages need to be released and they need to be at the forefront of this discussion.
The protests are only growing in the nation's capital, another encampment on the campus of George Washington University.
We are here with a set of demands and we won't leave until they are met.
Pro-Palestinian demonstrations happening throughout the country at Loyola University in Louisiana, Stanford, and Arizona State. At USC in Los Angeles, the school canceled their main commencement ceremony over what they say are safety concerns.
Negotiations have already stalled between protesters and school officials at Columbia University, where the president has threatened to clear the encampment. The call for universities to divest funds may seem unrealistic, but there is precedent. In the 1980s, students across the country, including Berkeley, staged protests against apartheid rule in South Africa. In the end, 150 universities ended up divesting from companies doing business with the country.
Hamas has released another video of another hostage. This is Keith Siegel, who was taken from his home on October 7th. The video was released today, but CBS News can't confirm when it was recorded or what sort of pressure he was being put on by Hamas. This follows the release earlier this week of a video showing Berkeley-born Hirsch Goldberg Polan as dual American-Israeli citizenship. He was captured in October, and the video shows one of his hands missing. His parents released a video of their own.
We're relieved to see him alive, but we are also concerned about his health and well-being, as well as that of all of the other hostages and all of those suffering in this region.
If you can hear us, I am telling you, we are telling you, we love you, stay strong, survive.
Family has called on the negotiating parties, including Qatar, Egypt, the United States, Hamas, and Israel, to work harder to strike a deal to end the suffering. Israel says Hamas is still holding 100 hostages, and today thousands of people took to the streets in Tel Aviv to demand their return. The demonstrators say they are against Israel's handling of the war in Gaza. Today, Hamas said it was reviewing a new Israeli proposal for a ceasefire, and the Gaza Health Ministry said that Israel's military has now killed 34,000 Palestinians since the start of the war.
San Jose police are looking for whoever shot and killed a woman in downtown San Jose last night. This happened just after 9 near the intersection of North 4th Street and East St. John. That's just about a block from St. James Park. Police say the woman was found unconscious and not breathing. No word yet on any of the suspects, and it's San Jose's 12th homicide of the year.
In San Francisco, Japantown's Peace Plaza is about to get a makeover. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Mayor London Breed shoveled some dirt, breaking ground on the renovation that will beautify the plaza. The design of the update shows more seating, more trees, and a bigger stage.
Speaking of construction, a couple of local freeways are getting some work done this weekend. A stretch of 680 is shut down this weekend. Caltrans is repaving the roads between the 580 connector in Pleasanton and Koopman Road in Sunol. And it will reopen the highway Monday morning around 4 o'clock. This is the last of several recent closures in that area. And then in the North Bay, westbound Highway 37 is also closed again this weekend for repaving. Caltrans shut down the roadway last night, and it will stay that way until 4 o'clock Monday morning. The same closure is scheduled again for the following two weekends, but for the eastbound direction.
Well, there will not be ferry service in and out of Sausalito through at least part of next week. Might remember the ferry landing has been closed since last Friday when structural damage was discovered. Golden Gate ferry trips are being replaced by the much more sedate Golden Gate bus trips until the landing is repaired. Might also have to hop on a bus if you're taking BART in the East Bay. There's no train service today between Rock Ridge and Lafayette because of work that they're doing near the Orinda station. BART does have a bus bridge, but it will add about 20 minutes to your ride. Trains should be up and running by tomorrow.
In Sonoma County, the Board of Supervisors recently took a step towards protecting more trees in the hopes of mitigating the effects of climate change. Max Darrow joins us from the newsroom to explain.
Supervisors voted to approve an expanded version of Sonoma County's tree protection ordinance, which was originally adopted about 35 years ago in 1989. The changes will mean more protection for native trees, and it'll make it more difficult to remove protected trees. The original ordinance protected 11 tree species with trunks 9 inches in diameter or greater. Under the updated ordinance, 31 kinds of trees with trunks 6 inches in diameter or greater will be protected. If somebody wants to remove most kinds of trees in unincorporated parts of the county, they'll now need a permit to do so. And the fees for removing protected trees will be much higher than they were in 1989, a maximum of $3,500 per tree. An environmental expert with the county says this move will help increase climate resiliency and support forest health.
We have a very beautiful forest ecosystem here in Sonoma County, and you know those trees provide a lot of benefits, whether that's shade or recreation, soil stability, water quality improvement, air quality, carbon sequestration.
Aguero says the slew of wildfires since 2017 have dramatically impacted the county's oak forests. Oak trees will now be considered a protected species. There are exemptions to the updated ordinance, including removals for public safety, defensible space, and basic property maintenance. As for enforcement, violations will be investigated by the county's code enforcement division. The new ordinance will likely take effect at the end of May.
Happening right now in Oakland, crime victims and survivors from around the bay gather to heal together. The vigil at Lake Merritt honoring loved ones lost to crime. Coalition also calls on California to invest in crime prevention. They say that state lawmakers and voters will have the chance to pass some important reforms, and that includes care for victims.
Hurt people hurt people. But healed people heal people. And so the more access we have to healing services, the more support we have for each other in community, the more opportunities we have to process the trauma and the harm that's happened to us and move beyond it, the more opportunities we have to keep each other and our community safe.
And we'll have more on the vigil and the 11 o'clock news tonight.
Harvey Weinstein has been taken to a hospital prison ward in New York City just days before a court appearance. The disgraced movie mogul was hospitalized for medical tests after getting checked out by doctors at Rikers Island. He is expected to appear in court Wednesday after the New York Court of Appeals overturned his 2020 rape conviction earlier this week. Weinstein was sentenced to 23 years in prison. The appeals court ruling says the trial judge in the case allowed testimony not directly related to the charges he faced. Weinstein is still serving a 16-year prison sentence for charges of rape and sexual assault in Los Angeles last year.
School teachers in Tennessee are now explicitly allowed to carry handguns on the job. Governor Bill Lee signed the law on Friday. He says it's a move that will give school districts the tools to keep children safe. That law requires the guns to be concealed, and teachers have to first have a background check and a psychological exam. Guns will not be allowed in stadiums, gyms, or auditoriums, but apparently classrooms are okay. A sticking point for opponents of the law, parents would not necessarily be notified if their child's teacher were armed.
Millions of Americans in the Midwest are under tornado watches this evening, receiving warnings of strong winds, heavy rain, and flash flooding throughout the weekend. Tornadoes have already leveled several homes in Nebraska like these, and including a town outside of Omaha where winds topped 135 miles an hour. Luckily, there haven't been any reported deaths in the state, but the damage has been significant. One farm owner who lost a lot of property from the tornado damage, including two barns, says she doesn't see a clear path to recovery.
This house was built in 1892, and it has stood for well over a century, and we refurbished it several times now, and I don't know where we go from here.
Meanwhile, in Iowa, Governor Kim Reynolds has declared a disaster in a small town on the other side of the border with Nebraska. A large tornado leveled hundreds of homes and businesses. So far, about 80 tornadoes have been reported across at least five states. Well, further east from that, Golden Gate Bridge, Antioch Library will be closing this Tuesday to have its roof replaced. Holds won't be available for pickup, and the book drop-off will be locked during the closure. People will still be able to place new holds online and pick them up at any Contra Costa County Library branch. Work on Antioch Library's roof is expected to take 6 weeks and is scheduled to reopen on June 11th. Earlier this year, the library closed over crime and safety concerns. It eventually reopened with full-time armed guards. Luckily, I don't have to do that.
Appreciate you watching. We'll be back here at 11 tonight.
Until then, the news continues streaming on CBS News Bay Area. I'll see you then.